Oh, Father, our God in heaven, we come before thee with much thankfulness in our hearts for another opportunity to gather together. Lord, we continue on this day of rest to worship thee. Thy word is before us. A blessing is before us, O Lord, if we simply do as we have sung unto thee, that our hearts would be open wide to the receiving of the blessings that thou hast in store for us. So cause our hearts and our minds to focus upon thee, O Lord, and that we would feel thy presence with us, and speak thou mightily to each one of our hearts, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading and meditation, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 5, and let's begin with verse 38 to the end. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38 to the end. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. May God bless our reading and dear ones, the word that is before us that we have read together is probably one of the most difficult, the most challenging, the most radical teachings of Jesus Christ to us. It is a word that I believe every one of us at some point tries to lower the standard of, because the standard that it sets is exactly where Isaiah saw God, high and lifted up. And it is this is where his law is also, high and lifted up with him. He doesn't lower his law. He doesn't lower his standard for you and for me. No, he sets it. And then he gives unto us the ability and the means through which to be able to fulfill and to keep, and by doing so, glorifying and honoring him. The thought of the law of love that is expressed here is something that, dear ones, as we read this, we know that the Jews themselves, in their oral law, they added what Jesus saying, you have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what the Jews added to the law of God. And so Jesus comes and sets it straight, says, I'm going to tell you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And that, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, is a law that God has set that has to, that man cannot fulfill. Because even as in the beginning of what we have read here, he says, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's called justice. And everybody wants justice. Exact justice. What you deserve, you get. And a lot of people will actually look at this law and say, well, what kind of law is that? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Well, it was a just law. It was a just law. You exact amount of revenge or justice back exactly as what was demonstrated. So if someone took an eye, he had his eye removed. Not two eyes, not an eye and an ear, not an eye and a leg. It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's exact. And that was the law of God that he has set aside. But Jesus says here that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So Jesus came and he elevated his law to a height that has to make every one of us uneasy. If we try to fulfill this law on our own, we can never do so. It sure would be a lot easier to read, thou shalt not smoke. Okay. Put away my cigarettes, I fulfill the law. But Christ here is talking about who are you and who am I inside of me? Who are we inside? When the Bible tells us, resist not evil, but whoever smites thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And I know there are many ways to explain this, many ways to look at this. But if we just simply take it for what it says, a smite, that smite could be any which way you can interpret it. When someone smites you, they're not doing something good to you. It could be literal physical slap in the face. It could be someone putting you down. It could be someone doing something to you that is not pleasant to the flesh, to yourself. And he says, don't resist that. In other words, don't go eye for an eye. Don't give back to him what he gave to you. But it says, turn to him the other also. And he goes on and says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have your cloak also. If you lose your umbrella, give him your raincoat too. The Roman law was that at any time they could take you and ask you to carry their load for a mile, and you had to do it. And that's actually how Simon was given the cross of Jesus to carry. They gave it to him. He had to go carry it. They asked him to go a mile. Jesus is saying, if they ask you to go a mile, that's unjust. It's not right, but they ask you to go, well, go too. Go above and beyond. Give to him that asketh of thee. From him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. These are all teachings from our Lord Jesus that, dear ones, we can't skirt these. We can't minimize them. We can't say, well, God is... what's he asking? Well, he tells us in the last verse what he's asking. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's not scoff at this and say, oh, you know, what, are you perfect? Well, whoever is perfect doesn't need Jesus, right? And we know we all need him. And so this is exactly what Jesus is saying. Ask. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What? What is this that Jesus will give unto us to make us perfect? Well, you have to be ready to receive him because he will give his grace. And what is his grace? Is his grace a lowering of his standard for you and for me? well, you know, I know you tried hard. You know, you had a rough upbringing and you had this. So we're going to lower the standard for you. That's not what grace is. Grace is giving himself unto you. And you have to be able to receive him. And in order to receive him, the first words of the Sermon on the Mount lay it out. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? And what will happen? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And he will impart unto us his grace. He will give unto us himself. That is what grace is. It is Jesus Christ himself being given unto us into a heart that is poor in spirit, recognizes himself as can add and give nothing of himself unto the Lord to make him worthy of the blessings that God is willing and ready and looking to impart unto those who love him and recognize their own weakness and inability of themselves. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's who Jesus will come into. That's who he will give the power to do exactly what he has asked us to do. I was baptized. I made a confession. I did this, I did this. That doesn't mean anything if it doesn't follow with that what Jesus is speaking. You will be blessed. The kingdom of heaven is within you when you are poor in spirit and you're mourning for your sins. You will be comforted. Why? Because your sins will be forgiven. When our sins are when there is forgiveness that takes place, we know the burden that is lifted. The burden is lifted. There's no more quarrel. It's peace. It's love. It's joy. We know it happens between in our relationships. In a relationship, it could happen between siblings. It could happen between mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and friends. And it can happen. But when that is restored, there's an overwhelming peace and joy. And that is the comfort that Jesus is saying you will receive when you recognize who you are, that you are really a nothing. But yet, God doesn't look at you as nothing. He looks at you as valuable. He looks at you as someone that he will give his only begotten son for, to die for you, so that he could empower you. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. All of our sustenance comes from him. That is the grace that he gives, imparts unto us. It's all of him and all of our nourishment. Everything we need is fed from him through the vine into the branches to bear the fruit that he is asking of us. Again, what is coming from you and me? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you and I can do. But yet we can bear the fruit that comes from him. It comes from him. When you do it and expect something in as a reward, that is from you. It's filthy rags. The Bible describes it as. And in verse 11 and 12 of the same Sermon on the Mount, he's really saying what we read here. It says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Where's your reward? Here? No, he says in heaven. The persecution is here. The name calling is here. The kicking you around is here. The reward is in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. In other words, don't sit there in your misery. Don't, oh, Lord, why me? Oh, why me again? Apostle Paul could have done that. Well, I never heard him saying that. We've never seen that display of him. We saw this exact fulfillment in the very disciples that he is preaching here in front of. As they became his apostles, we see they were rejoicing and being exceedingly glad when they were persecuted. And when they were chased from city to city, when they were imprisoned and beaten, they were exceedingly glad. The reward is in heaven. They know that. They weren't looking for anything different from man because they know what man did to their Lord and to their Savior. And Jesus says they will do the same to you. He says that's how they persecuted the prophets which were before you. And so, dear ones, as we consider this law that Jesus lays out, he says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Is that a button that you can hit? Just hit a button and, okay, I'm going to love you. You can't. And it's not some warm, fuzzy feeling that sweeps over you either. Jesus gives us an exact description of what it means to love someone. He says, love your enemies and bless those that curse you. He tells us, bless them and curse not. Who? The one who is cursing you. How do you bless? Do good to them that hate you. How justified do you feel when someone displays what we immediately will elevate to hatred? You know, any slight movement outside of my will for myself suddenly is, oh, he hates me, or she hates me. Well, if that's true, what am I supposed to do? Do good. How does that happen? Do I hit a button and let's do good? No. It comes from a heart that is indwelt by his Holy Spirit. It comes from a heart that recognizes that we are poor in spirit. It is something that Jesus says, that vengeance is mine. Mine and mine alone, God says, not yours. Why? Because man gets it wrong every time. Man will always get it wrong. He says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Dear ones, we know what it means to pray for someone. When you have goodwill towards someone, you pray for them. What do you pray for? For everything that is good that can come from God. You pray for them. Who is this for that you're wishing? Salvation? Wishing for them to see the error of their way? For them which are using you, persecuting you. You are doing good to them. You are praying for them. And he says that you may be the father of your, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And he gives an example of what he does. He says he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. There's a lot of evil in this world. But you know, they bask in the sun. Just like a child of God's does. Sun is needed, rain is needed. God says, I give the rain, I give the sun to the one who is evil, to the one who is good. I don't differentiate. He says, you do the same thing. So that you would be the children. In other words, because we are his children, we will now do what he does. As a child, being born into the family of God, being born into the family, born again, born anew, we will now do as our Father does. And how will we do that? Through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And he goes on and says, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And then he says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know, we read about a chief of the publicans today. Zacchaeus, a chief of the publicans. All the publicans were good buddies. He was the chief of them. So they knew how to do good one to another. Man knows how to do good, but he says, the one that loves you, it's easy to do. Now do that to the one that hates you. And we see that displayed by Jesus on the cross. We see it displayed by Stephen as the stones were pummeling him. Is if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Brothers and sisters, have you ever walked by a brother and didn't feel like greeting him? I don't want to greet him. He doesn't deserve my greeting. Or they're beneath me in some way. Turn my back to a brother or a sister. Jesus said, if you only greet your brethren, what are you doing more than others? Have we come to points in our lives where we can't even greet our brethren? Because he says, the publicans do this. The publicans greet those, the one another. They do that. But do that to your enemy. Do it to the one that you know doesn't like you. Don't be afraid. The only way you can ever feel that you can't greet someone is when you know you're at odds with him. And that's what Jesus lays out earlier in the same Sermon on the Mount, where he says, if you go to pray, give your gift before the altar, and he says, as you're bringing your gift to the altar, and you remember that your brother has aught against you, you remember there's something, there's a squabble between you, he says, just stop. Don't bring your gift. I don't need your gift. That's what the Lord is saying. Stop. It's meaningless. Because you have aught. Don't say, well, yeah, but look what he did to me. Because that's what he said. The publicans are doing that. So how are you having the power of the Spirit of God? My grace given to you freely. How are you operating then? He says, leave your gift at the altar, go thy way, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. How many times do we offer our gifts? Prayers, praying for self, for my sons, my daughters, my husbands, wives. What, as we pray, do we have aught against someone? Are we at odds with someone? Jesus says, your gift that you're bringing me is meaningless. I will not hear you. Go make peace. Go make peace. And here, in verse 47, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Earlier in the chapter, we read where he's saying, you have aught against the brother. The brother has aught against you, and you haven't made peace. You can't even greet one another. But if you can only greet one another and not your enemy, so even if we all live in peace and harmony with each other, and everything is understood, but we can't do that with our enemy, or those who persecute. And what is our enemy? Really, it's anyone. It doesn't have to be someone who is taking me in shackles into the dungeons. We all have a will or a desire for ourselves. We have something, and when someone goes against my will, that could be considered an enemy. He's going against that because really, God has his will. And when we go against that will, we become enemies of God. There's an enmity between us and God when we go against his will. So if we have a will that has been established, I know what my will, and if someone is going against that, my immediate reaction is to react in a way that is going to dismiss him. Get him out of my way. I'm not going to greet you. I'm going to have nothing to do with you. And he says, that's what the publicans do. That's what Zacchaeus does. And so the Lord has laid out here for us a standard, really, that, you know, if we ask ourselves, what is my identity in Christ? If we can't look at these verses that we have read here today, which is, like I said, probably one of the most challenging and difficult teachings of Jesus to fulfill, because this isn't something that you and I can do. If you tell me, don't eat something, don't do something, I can do that. But this is calling for something far beyond that. And I know I've said it before, but, you know, if I'm angry at you, and I literally feel like I could punch you, and I don't. But that feeling is in me. Have I fulfilled these verses? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Because if I'm ready to punch you, I can't pray for you. Because how can I wish you something, a blessing from God, when I want to inflict physical harm on you? Or it could be verbal harm. It could be anything that rises within me out of a feeling from self is now taking control of me, and the Spirit of God, His grace given to me freely. Remember, God doesn't lower His standard. He gives us His grace to fulfill that standard. And so if you and I will not fulfill that standard, it's because, what? Do we not have His grace? Have we dismissed His grace? Have we dismissed His presence? Are we on the vine? Because that's where I get all my sustenance from. And so when I failed, it says, be perfect. When I realize I failed, what does God in His mercy do when I repent of that? He comes and He trims off that branch. That part that was deadened, He trims it off so that I could bring more fruit. That's love of God. That's His mercy towards us. And He's calling us to a high, high calling in Christ Jesus. Be perfect. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We need Jesus to do that. And He says, I will come unto you. I will come unto you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. Into a heart that is poor in spirit, into a heart that mourns, repents, is sorrowful, when what we have done, when we are meek, when we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, when we are merciful, when we are pure in heart, when we are peacemakers, Jesus says, I will give you my grace and you will be perfect. So, dear ones, Our Lord has really called us unto a level of service that is out of this world. It's out of this world. It's otherworldly. It's a divine nature that He imparts unto us. His nature, His grace, His Spirit. He Himself comes into our hearts to do the work that He asks us to do. What is required of us? Submission. Complete and total. And the only way we can do that is when we recognize that we are poor in spirit. And so, dear ones, as we consider our own hearts and lives and where we stand before the living God, you know, the days are fleeting, the weeks and are rolling into months and years and decades. It's all passing by so fast. And you young ones don't understand that. But as you get older, you realize that the grave is closer than my birth was, no question. And so as you ponder on that, you think about it, is it worth being angry at someone, standing on my own right, hating this and being proud, and because I'm going to die, I'm going to be gone, and then what? It's just you and your Lord. well done, or I don't know you. That's it. And to hear, I never knew you. And there's no way to go back now and say, wait a minute, give me another chance. There's no more chances. The chance is today. If we're not poor in spirit, we can never do anything. Baptisms are worthless. Watery baptism, spiritual baptism, all of that is meaningless if we aren't poor in spirit. Because that's when you will receive the kingdom. And that's when you will be willing to be baptized into his death and to rise to the newness of life, to be given his Holy Spirit, and then live according to his will. My will aside, it's his will that rules my heart, my day. Brothers and sisters, pray for one another with a sincerity. And you will learn to love one another as you look at the Lord and what he has forgiven you and me. And that we would also then be merciful and forgive one another. Not wish vengeance, but forgiveness. Urge to repentance, because that is the way back to the Father's heart. Through recognizing, being poor in spirit, and mourning, repenting for our sins. So this is my prayer and desire for myself and for each one of us, that as we contemplate on who we are in Christ, we have to be new creatures. I know we love that verse in Corinthians where it said, all old things are all passed away. Everything is passed away. All things have become new. In Christ, everything is new. My will, my life, my love, everything is new. There's no more of me. It's Christ living in me. May he bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.
The thoughts of that song were an echo of the thoughts that I was having in consideration of the service that we had this afternoon, in that Jesus began his ministry with these words that we read of loving our enemies. And then he exemplified that at the end of his ministry here upon this earth. At the end of his ministry, he was praying to his Father and said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. He yielded himself in submission to his Father. He yielded himself. And then he went to the cross. He went to the cross. And he loved those that were persecuting him. He did good to them. He blessed them. And he prayed for them. While there he was hanging there on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we look to Jesus as our example. And we allow him to work in us. And that happens when we submit to him, when we yield our all to him, when we allow him to work in us. And then we come to that point of perfection that he is calling us to. That happens because we are submissive unto him, because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, as we heard this morning. It comes through submission unto to the Father and to his will. So may he give us that desire in our hearts, that when we're in a moment of difficulty and there's a issue that's happening live, that we would yield ourselves to the Lord. Yield ourselves to the Lord and allow the fruit of the Spirit that's operating in us to come forth. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance would come forth from us, because we've yielded ourselves. We've come to that submission to the Lord, and he works in us. And then we glorify his name. And then we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.